Okay, thank you, Jimmy. Yes, okay, now the microphone's on. Yes, as I was saying, Ohio State won yesterday, and so I'm wearing my scarlet and gray, and it's interesting because I was talking to Steve, and his team wasn't as fortunate. And he's like, you know what? No, I mean, it's not that big a deal. I'm not that deep into it. And I thought to myself, man, you're a better man than me, Steve. If Ohio State had lost to Michigan yesterday, I probably would have came in here all in black, sackcloth and ashes. Just, you know, it would have been miserable. But they didn't. And so I'm excited, glad to be here. But I'm mostly glad to be here because it's another opportunity for us to come and take the time to acknowledge that when we worship together, it's a special occasion. You know, it's a special time for us. It's not just something that, you know, interestingly enough, it doesn't go by wins and losses, and it isn't measured by, you know, exactly how much money I made and what I'm going through. No matter what we're doing and what's going on, the Bible calls us to come together with one another to worship, to take this time to pray with one another, to spend time with one another. And it's great that we are able to do that, even on a cloudy day. We've been talking about being the light of the world. Can I get somebody to turn this fan down a little bit? I'm not quite that hot. But we've been talking about being the light of the world. And that passage where it talks about, you know, being the salt of the earth and the light of the world and how we are to have an impact on those around us. Salt doesn't just exist, but everything salt touches, it has an impact, right? Anytime there's light, you know, interestingly enough, even if you are blind, even if you do not have the ability for light to pass through your eyes and your brain can't make sense of it, you still have, light still has an effect on people who are even blind. It's so important that we understand when Christ tells us to be the light of the world, what that means exactly. And I want to talk a little bit today about light as a form of energy. You know, how energy is required for there to be light. Like, even when you walk out, you know, it's cloudy and so it's overcast and we can't see the sun today because of the clouds. But on those sunny days, you know, we look up there and we just see this round thing, say, oh, look at that, it's the sun, right? Like, it's just this, you know, big ball or something that's just hanging out in the sky. But we know that, you know, all those miles, millions of miles away, there's this big old ball of gas, this big old ball of energy that's doing what? Shedding light, right? It's keeping us warm. Some of it is not keeping Miss Linda warm today. It's that time of year. She's cold. But for the rest of us, it's keeping us warm, right? That's what the sun does. It's this big ball of gas, this big ball of energy that emits all of this heat. And there's so much energy there, it lets all of this light out. Now, we're not expected to be like the sun in that way because obviously we can't amass that type of energy. But the thing that's so interesting about stars like the sun is that they don't just keep energy forever, right? You know, they actually burn out at some point, you know, unless they were to somehow get their energy restored. And you think about that, even if we look at our lanterns, you know, some of you are looking at me like, I don't have a lantern. I have electricity in my house. But if you had a lantern, let's say you went camping, right, you would have this lantern, and that light that would come up through that lantern, it has an energy source. In the same way, if we are expected to be the light of the world, it's important that we understand where our energy source comes from, that we have to be renewed also. And so I want to look at a few passages today that talk about this and really help us to understand how vital it is that we tap into the right energy source so that our light can shine its brightest. The title of the sermon today is Keep That Same Energy. Keep that same energy. You know, that's the same because, you know, a lot of times people, you know, I was talking about sports, you know, a lot of the Michigan fans, they had a lot of energy before the game and then afterwards they went into hiding. And it's like, no. Keep that same energy, that same enthusiasm, right? Because let's face it, part of what gets us out of being the light of the world that God expects from us is that things happen. things get in the way. We get distracted. We get discouraged. Negative things impact us. And it's like, no, you need to keep that same energy that you get through your relationship with God. And the question is, how do we keep that same energy? How do we go about doing that very thing, that is, keeping that same energy that allows us to be the light of the world? This, I'm going to try not to butcher this. I did okay in science and physics and all that stuff, but I'm going to try not to butcher this. But this is, looks like Christopher Robin, actually. But Christopher Robin sitting here with a ball, and this is an example of what they call potential energy and how potential energy is transformed into kinetic energy, right? And he's sitting there with this ball, and while he's holding it, it's potential energy, right? Because it's not actually being used to do anything. It can't push anything. It doesn't have any force, any power, anything with it. But once he drops it, we see that there is something that this actual ball that he's dropping can do. It can move something, right? Because that's what energy does. You know, this is kinetic energy. This woman's running. What is she doing? She's generating, as she's moving, her body is generating power, energy, right? You guys are with me so far. I know it's been a long time since some of us even looked at some of this stuff. Now, this formula here, I'm going to try not to butcher this. The K stands for the, what, kinetic energy? And that's equal to half of the mass. And then the V stands for velocity. Okay, I was going to say, help me out, Steve. Come on. All right, velocity. And then it's to the second power. The idea is that, and this is a good example of it, when you see a pendulum swing, that energy moves and it does something. What? It hits the other balls, and then that energy passes through the other ones, and it forces the other one to go. But that energy doesn't just stay constant forever, right? As it goes, it loses power slowly but surely, right? And so when we think about what energy is, see, us shining our light into the world, that energy that is required is no different for us than it would be for Christopher Robin with that ball, than any other thing that's moving. In order for that energy to be able to have impact and move something, it has to be restored. It has to be replaced. It has to be replenished. And I want to look at that a little bit right now as we look in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, starting verse 27, it says, "Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Here in just these few short verses, we see what we're talking about when we talk about how it is, you know, that we are to be the light of the world. He tells him, he says, what's wrong with you? He's like, what is all this? You know, God has forgotten us and everything is bad and we've lost our way. He's saying, no. No, all hope is not lost. He's saying, no, God will restore you. God will keep you strong. I find it interesting. It says even youths get tired. And I thought, man, not my house. But, you know, the thing is, I can definitely relate to the young man. They say even young men, you know, they kind of stumble. Yeah, because, you know, at some point you're not a young man anymore, right? But that's the thing. We get tired. We get weary. We lose our footing. We lose our direction. We lose our power. We lose our strength, our energy. We lose the ability to do things. And what happens to us when it comes to being the light of the world, when bad things happen, when things push back against us, what do we have to do? We have to tap back into God. We have to get our strength from somewhere. We have to get it from a reliable source. Get it from a place that will renew us and replenish us regardless of how much we may have lost. As we read here through Isaiah, it's talking about how they've lost something. They're concerned that they're losing something and they're getting tired. And he's saying, no, God can restore that. The source of our light to the world comes from God and his love for us. And, you know, it's interesting when we think about how it is that we lose our energy. Because sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes, you know, we can go weeks, even months, and just feel great. And it's not hard. It's not, it's very easy to be the light of the world. Sometimes it's easier than others to be joyful and encouraging and to represent who God is to us and to show people the example of Christ. It can be easy. But when we get persecution, when we run up against struggles and trials, when we face issues, when we start to doubt, then it's harder. That's when it saps our strength. It saps that energy, and suddenly we're not as bright as we once were. We can get discouraged, and some of that comes from us forgetting. You know, this, I saw this, and I want to share this with you. This was a something someone shared on my timeline on Facebook a few days ago. As you can see, this is an old, dirty watch. And this is important. We're going to read this here. It says, this is what came along with it. It said, a father before he died said to his son, this is a watch your grandfather gave me, and it's more than 200 years old. But before I give it to you, go to the watch shop on the First Street and tell him I want to sell it and see how much he offers you. He went and then came back to his father and said, the watchmaker offered $5 because it is old. He then said to him, go to the coffee shop. He went and then came back and said, he offered $5, Father. Go to the museum and show them that watch. He went, then came back and said to his father, they offered me $1 million for this piece. The father said, I wanted to let you know that the right place values you in the right way. Don't find yourself in the wrong place and get angry if you're not valued. Those that know your value are those who appreciate you. Don't stay in a place where nobody sees your value. Now this, you know, I'm not even certain if this is a real story or if this is just a story, a tale that someone is saying to get across a message, but the message matters, especially when we think about what it means to be the light of the world. Because let's face it, when we are tired, when we don't have the energy to be the light of the world, when we're discouraged, when we're constantly facing struggles and negativity and failure and rejection, that's when it's really hard to be the light of the world. That's when it's the hardest to be like Christ. But it's important that we understand that we emanate the light of Christ to the world, not based on how other people receive us, but because we understand why our light matters. We understand where that source is, and we understand why it is that we have to remember that we don't measure our light, our impact, what it is that we're supposed to do. We don't measure that based on how the world will receive us. We do it because we know how much our light means, how much it means that the world see exactly who Jesus was. John chapter 15, verse 18, one of my favorite passages in the Bible, it says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obey my teachings, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name. For they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. You know, this is so important. You know, we talked about that whole kinetic energy thing and potential energy. And, you know, there's this term. It's called drag force, I believe it is. Okay, that's it. Yeah, thank you, Nadine. Yeah, I told you, I did okay. I think I got a C+. But the thing is, that's what happens to the force. That energy that you've generated is that object, that mass is moving. What keeps its impact, what keeps it from being able to have full impact is what? That drag force. So it's kind of like if I started pushing something, you know, it's one thing for me to pick it up. If I have to push it against this rug, that rug is going to keep, it's going to drag it back. It's going to slow it down. It's going to eliminate and slowly diminish the amount of force that that mass is going to have as it's moving. See, this is what happens to us every day when we leave here. See, it's great. We're getting all this energy. We're being restored. We're being encouraged. We have vision. We have faith. We have hope. And then we get out there in the world, and suddenly our light doesn't shine very bright, if it shines at all. Why? Because we get back out into the real world. And then suddenly we're getting all that drag that's holding us back, that's slowing us down, which is why we have to constantly remember where our source of energy comes from so that we can overcome that drag. See, the world, you know, that term is a drag. Yeah, the world kind of is a drag, you know. It can be all negativity and all rejection and hurt and pain. Sometimes it can be like that. We have to remember how it is that we get the ability to be renewed like we looked at in Isaiah so that our shine continues to be bright. How we shine cannot be subject to the world's standards of success or how we are received. We don't shine in the world. We don't represent Christ just because everybody's going to come and accept who Christ is. Or for that matter, accept us. What did he say? Hey, guess what? If they hated me, they're going to hate you too. Just for the fact that you carry my name. You know, I think about this often where, you know, we can sometimes look and think, how is it that people can't see how great it is to have a life filled with God in it? How important it is to have a relationship with God. And yet we can look at Jesus himself. You can't get closer to the source than Jesus. Jesus was, in fact, the source. You can't have a better teacher, a better example. I get up here and I might preach a lesson or something, and it's like, okay, that was okay. Trust me, you can't get a better preacher than Jesus. Right? You can't get a better teacher, a better example of what it is to be the light. And yet people still didn't respond to that light. Shining the light doesn't mean that everybody's going to respond, but it doesn't mean that you stop doing it. If you have an obstacle, that doesn't mean that you're going to stop moving. It doesn't mean that you're going to stop being that light. It means that you have to continue on. And it's not just some drudgery. You don't just keep pushing against that drag and drain your energy. No, you get refilled. You get renewed. This is why we come together in fellowship with one another. This is why we pray. This is why we read the word. This is why we do the things we do as Christians. It's not necessarily just because everybody's going to respond favorably to the light. If I come in here and turn the lights on, so that everybody will have adequate light to read, that doesn't mean everybody's going to pick up their Bible and read it. But it doesn't mean that, oh, well, you know, Miss Shanita, she's not even looking. She didn't even pick up her, but she's not even looking down at her page. So what, I'm not going to turn the light on? We don't do it because the world is going to respond favorably to us. We don't do it because there's not going to be any resistance or any drag against our energy, that light that we're emitting. We do it because it is what is expected of us as Christians. Because God has a purpose for that light. And we can't be so discouraged by the negativity and those things that drag us down that we stop being the light of the world. A few questions I want to end with here today as we consider how it is that we can keep that same energy all the time. First one, what is my primary source of my energy every day? Do I seek out the necessary power to shine bright consistently? What is your source? Because guess what? Sources of energy will fail. They will run out. You know, I think about batteries, and, you know, it's always great. Jimmy will come up to me and say, hey, man, I changed the batteries in the microphone just in case. You know, I changed the batteries in the clicker just in case. Why? Because we know that that is a finite amount of energy in that little 9-volt battery. It's the same thing with us. How do we recharge? Where do we go when we're discouraged? Where do we go when we're facing sickness? Where do we go? Do we run to the places that God has provided us to be recharged and renewed? Do we go to the Word? Do we go to Him? Do we allow our brothers and sisters to get us plugged back in? Do we only rely on ourselves? Do we rely on pleasure and accomplishments? What is it? What is our primary source of energy that sustains us every day so that we don't lose that energy so that we can continue to shine brightly? What causes drag force? That's what it's called, drag force. What causes drag force on my walk with God? How can I better handle friction and consequently produce more light? What is it? Can you identify those things that cause that drag force to bring you down? What are those things that are in your way? Because sometimes, you know, we can easily, you know, look at the big things and, oh, well, you know, I was in a car accident. Well, that's enough to bring you down. Or I lost my job. Well, that's enough to bring you down. But what are those other things that maybe they go unnoticed? What is causing that negativity? What's causing you to not be able to have the energy so that you can be the light of the world? What's distracting you? What are those things? We have to give time and attention to those things so that we can understand how it is we can overcome them so that we can continue to be the light. For those who don't have, they don't even know where that energy source is. They don't know how to plug in. You might look and think, well, you know what? I'm surrounded by people who don't even care. And they may not. But somebody's always watching. Somebody's always paying attention. You're not just shining your light for no reason. God's not just telling you to be the light of the world for no reason. So we have to overcome that drag, that thing that keeps us from being able to be as effective and produce as much light as we possibly can. Do I measure my effectiveness based on the equation that God has set out for me or by whether I'm appreciated by the world? How can I reset my standards to be more accurate? You know, I gave that equation not because I particularly care about kinetic energy, but the point is that energy, there is an equation, right? There is an equation that, you know, you can actually measure, you know, if I had a ball or something and I threw it, you could actually measure it before I threw it, if you knew exactly how hard I was going to throw it, if you knew how much it weighed, if you understood the distance, if you understood the elements and what was going on in this environment, you would be able to then come up with that equation. In the same way, when we think about how it is that we measure our effectiveness, when we say be the light of the world, that can be so vague, that can be so generic. How do we know that we are effectively shining as bright as we possibly can? How much time do we actually invest into understanding what does it mean for me? See, I know, like for me, I know when I've taken in too much television or social media or radio or I've spent too much time at the gym, I know certain things eventually aren't helping me to generate more energy. They're not helping me to be more of the light of the world, sometimes eventually they start taking away. Do you know what those things are? How do you measure it? How do you know that being like Christ is actually being effective in shining the light that Christ wants you to shine? I can tell you as a Christian and being a Christian for a long time, it's certainly not going to be by how many people respond or how many people accept you. How do we better understand how we, you know, we sing that song, you know, kids, they may have sang it today, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, right? We sing that light, our little light in our little portion of the world. How do we measure that light's effectiveness? What is that equation for you? Or do you just go out and say, well, hey, you know what? The world's going to get whatever light it's going to get. It's going to get whatever it's going to get. And I'll plug in when I feel like plugging in, or I'll charge up when I feel like charging up. Do we understand how important, I've said this multiple times now, week after week, do we really understand how important it is that we shine as brightly as we possibly can? Because we never know who our light is affecting. Is there an obstacle that causes spiritual drag force or blocks my light that I'm unwilling or afraid to confront and remove? And I bring this up because, let's face it, sometimes we know what's sapping our energy. We know what's keeping us from being the light that God wants us to be, but we're unwilling to remove ourselves or remove that thing. That thing is causing that drag force. It is slowing us down. It is keeping us from being as bright as we possibly can be. You know, full disclosure, I'll share. I tend not to be that much of a people person sometimes, and I can, you know, wake up and go about my day. And if I do not make a conscious, deliberate, intentional effort to be friendly to people, I will walk around looking just like this. Some of you are laughing because you've seen it, right? But if I'm not paying attention, I will just walk around looking like this. And in my mind, I'm thinking, hey, this is, you know, perfectly normal. It's okay. But you know what? If I want to shine brighter, it might help to smile a little bit, Billy. You know, it might help to say hello and good morning. There's a gentleman who, at the gym, we were talking, and he told me, this is actually after my competition a few weeks ago, but he told me, he said, you seem so much happier, you're smiling now, and you're much more friendly. I'm like, you know, I've had some trans fats, and, you know, I've had some sugar, and I've put all that other stuff back in my diet, right? But the thing is, it wasn't the fact that he noticed that I was smiling. It's the fact that he noticed it all. It's the fact that he saw a difference. It's the fact that we may not be consciously thinking about it. We may not be aware, but somebody's paying attention to when you're walking around and you're being short, you're being impatient, or you're disinterested. They're trying to talk to you and get your attention. You just kind of walk on by. You didn't actually, in your mind, you didn't hurt them. But very often, we forget that energy that Christ expects us to have, I could be consistently friendly if I wanted to be. If I really tried to be, I could be. But it requires me to be willing to acknowledge that, you know, there's an obstacle there. There's something in the way there. There's something that is holding me back, and I need to be willing to deal with it. I can't be afraid to deal with that thing. Sometimes it may just be, you know what, I'm going to speak up. I'm going to be willing and unafraid to speak up. Maybe I need to confess something. I need to share something and get help with something because I've got this sin dragging me down. I've got this problem dragging me down. I always appreciate it when I can talk to people or people, you know, approach me and they want to open up and just get help with something because it lets me know that they're willing at that moment, they're willing to get rid of that thing that's dragging them down emotionally, that's causing them to be depressed, that's causing them to feel kind of yucky inside or whatever it is when you're willing to deal with these things. Are we willing to deal with those things that are dragging us? Because when we look around, we think, man, there's so many people who are lost, so many people who need Christ, so many people that need a relationship with God. Some people need their relationship with God restored, and we want that thing. We want it to happen, but are we willing to do our part so that they can see that beacon of light that's shining? You know, they see the light out there. As they're out there lost in the dark and they see the watchtower. See, we're that watchtower. Are we willing to be as bright as we possibly can? Because while our light may be able to, you know, emit something and somebody can see it a mile away, if we would just be brighter, if we would just try harder, if we would just commit ourselves to getting rid of those things that cause that drag so that we're not shining as bright as we could, maybe we could reach someone that's 2 miles away. Maybe we could reach someone, you know, because let's face it, the elements aren't always the same. Sometimes it's a clear night, but sometimes it's like it is today. It's overcast. Sometimes it's foggy. Our light matters. Are we willing to do those things to get rid of that drag? If you're in a situation today where maybe you've never actually made that decision, you've never made that choice that says, I want to be in a relationship with God. I need to know, what is this energy source you're talking about? How is it that, frankly, I can receive any type of energy from our relationship with God? You want to know those things. Maybe you've never explored those things. Then we're getting ready to stand up here in just a second and sing. We want you to invite you to come forward. Come forward so that we can teach you, so that we can pray with you, pray for you, so that we can help you enter into that relationship with God. Maybe you're in a place where you know that you've got some real serious drag force going on, and you just need the prayers of the church, and that's okay. We want to invite you to come forward as well. But I want everybody to understand how important it is that the energy, keeping that energy, it comes from us making a decision that we're going to tap in every day. That we're not going to forget that when we get tired, when we get weak, when we lose sight of how great our Father is, that we can always be restored. Our energy can always be renewed, like we read in Isaiah 40. It can always be renewed, but it requires us to go to the right source. It requires us to go to Him. Please stand as we sing our song of invitation.